Chapter 4, Foreign Security Force Planning and Operations. Although FSF threat prevention is an enduring process, the potential ramifications of a successful attack require commanders consider threat prevention and response throughout all steps of the planning process. Commanders deliberately plan threat prevention and response during all operations involving partnered FSFs. This chapter offers planning considerations that, when incorporated during troop leading procedures and the military decision-making process, assist units in properly addressing the FSF threat. Planning considerations. Commanders and staffs use the operations process to plan, prepare, execute, and assess military operations. This publication leverages both troop leading procedures and the military decision-making process to integrate FSF threat mitigation techniques into mission planning. Given the increased risk of FSF attacks during partnered operations, the planning guidance provided here assumes a mission involves FSFs. Commanders and staffs have several tools available to address the FSF threat during planning. Commanders use a protection cell to integrate and synchronize protection tasks and systems during both routine activities and major operations. As such, a protection cell is an important resource for assessing the FSF threat and incorporating prevention and defeat measures into mission planning. The protection cell assists commanders with developing vulnerability assessments for locations where U.S. forces operate alongside FSFs. Protection cell members work closely with the intelligence staff to ensure their assessments accurately reflect the threat posed by the various FSFs a unit may operate alongside. The staff sections in these cells are important resources for drafting operational risk assessments to better inform decision-making and protect U.S. forces. As information drives intelligence, commanders and staffs strive to maintain situational awareness and understanding of both FSF threats and conventional threats in their AOs. Leaders use digital and analog communications to leverage information gathered from higher echelons, lower echelons, and adjacent units. Other key sources of information include AARs, situation reports, and patrol debriefs. Additionally, face-to-face interactions with the local population and FSFs often yields valuable information regarding threats across a joint operational area. When planning operations, leaders consider risk and the importance of cultural implications associated with specific dates or events. For example, religious holidays, anniversaries, or recent significant incidents are all planning considerations that may impact operational design. During operational planning, commanders balance FSF threat prevention and defeat measures against the risk to the mission and the risk to forces. During SFA and stability operations, commanders ensure that prevention and defeat measures do not cause unintentional harm and undermine their mission by alienating partnered forces. Conversely, commanders ensure that prevention and defeat measures do not put soldiers at undue risk by isolating or exposing them and making them vulnerable to attack or capture. In the latter case, commanders adjust the mission parameters to better protect both soldiers providing security and leaders deemed vulnerable to an FSF attack. Troop leading procedures. Troop leading procedures are a set of procedures used to assist units in preparing for operations. These procedures consist of 7 steps: receive the mission, issue a warning order, make a tentative plan, initiate movement, conduct reconnaissance, complete the plan, issue the order, supervise and refine. Receive the mission. Upon receipt of mission, leaders assess the higher echelon headquarters order and begin analyzing mission requirements. They determine the type of operation and their role in it, the commander's intent, key tasks, and the desired end state. They confirm with the higher echelon commander and staff that they properly understand the mission. At this step in the planning process, leaders consider the impact of FSFs and they may seek clarification on FSF roles and limitations. Leaders should request information on the disposition of the partnered FSF unit and details regarding recent attacks in the area. Leaders need to know if soldiers from this unit attacked U.S. forces in the past. Leaders assess these factors to determine the threat level for the particular mission, since such factors may drive subsequent planning considerations. Units draft a tentative risk assessment for the operation and begin identifying control measures to mitigate the FSF threat. If the operation will occur at a site the unit frequents, then the unit consults the location's vulnerability assessment to address previously identified vulnerabilities or past incidents. Issue a warning order. When issuing a warning order, leaders suggest threat awareness and mitigation measures relevant to the pending mission. They may identify the partnered FSF unit and review FSF members suspected of being potential threats. Leaders may also discuss the tentative task organization, security force roles, and partnership assignments for their subordinates to allow time for adequate preparation and rehearsals. A brief discussion of the mission objective and location allows subordinates to identify rally points, key locations, and defensible structures. An effective warning order also identifies soldiers or teams designated as guardian angels. Leaders remind soldiers of the following items during preparation for combined operations. They should not use derogatory or offensive language, even in friendly conversation. They should be courteous and hospitable, yet maintain awareness and present a hard target. They should respect cultural norms and behaviors. They should establish and maintain rapport and treat all persons with respect. Make a tentative plan. When developing a tentative plan, leaders incorporate FSF threat considerations by comparing their initial concept of operations against potential enemy COAs. Does the concept properly account for FSF participation in the operation? How does the concept address an FSF attack? After identifying control measures to prevent or neutralize threat COAs, leaders then assess equipment and personnel available against force protection requirements to identify shortcomings or vulnerabilities. Leaders empower all individuals to provide recommendations on how to mitigate potential threats. Possible considerations during this step of the troop leading procedures include the following. Assessing the operation's likely duration, leaders consider the impact this will have on security force planning and force protection considerations. Incorporating intelligence on enemy cells and activities into planning. Leaders consider enemy composition, disposition, strength, recent activities, ability to reinforce, and possible enemy courses of action, including using civilians as cover. Assessing the size, capabilities, and response time of adjacent or supporting units. Answering these questions. If the operation includes a KLE or other vulnerable encounter, what measures will be implemented to mitigate the FSF threat? What will be the location, uniform, and weapons status of those in attendance? Who will be present for the engagement? How many guardian angels are required? Initiate movement. Movement consists of the preparation and rehearsals relevant for the pending mission. To combat the FSF threat, leaders ensure guardian angels are identified, equipped, and have rehearsed their tasks. They also rehearse FSF attack response drills. These include immediate response drills, cordon protocols, casualty evacuation, and rally point responsibilities. During this step, the unit coordinates with adjacent and supporting units to facilitate a shared understanding of actions taken during an attack. Generally, the unit in contact remains in control until the threat is neutralized. Leaders take the time to ensure that all soldiers understand the proper force protection posture, uniform, and weapon status. Initiating movement also requires ensuring that all mission essential equipment is present and serviceable. Units inspect additional equipment, including non-lethal weapons, site exploitation kits, biometric toolkits, individual communications equipment, detainee processing kits, medical aid bags, and personal locator beacons. This equipment is inventoried, inspected for serviceability, and issued to the appropriate teams or individuals prior to an operation. Conduct reconnaissance. Leaders consider the FSF threat during their reconnaissance. During reconnaissance, leaders attempt to ascertain the layout of key buildings or compounds on the objective. This is especially important if their mission involves a KLE, ceremony, or large public event. Leaders determine whether the location is suitable for the event and how their unit can secure it. Leaders identify rally points, cordon parameters, casualty collection points, helicopter landing zones, and ingress and egress routes during their reconnaissance. The plan addresses vulnerabilities and mitigation measures identified during the reconnaissance. Commanders and staffs consider these questions when making the plan. Where and when is the unit most vulnerable, and how could an FSF member attack the unit? Who would an attacker likely target, and how could an attacker breach security? How would an attacker likely flee the scene? Complete the plan. Commanders provide general consequence management guidance in the coordinating instructions. However, they provide specific mitigation measures and responsibilities in the tasks to subordinate units. While mitigation measures are mission-specific and focused, contingency plans and battle drills are broad enough to address rapidly changing circumstances. They should include guidance on engaging with the local population and instructions for de-escalating volatile situations, describe the threat, the environment, and partnered unit disposition, discuss vulnerabilities inherent to the location and the measures used to mitigate these vulnerabilities, address the task organization, scheme of maneuver, and scheme of protection to ensure teams and individuals are not unduly isolated or exposed to a potential attack, describe access control procedures and identification methods for FSFs on the objective, clearly define the tasks and roles of the FSFs during the operation, identify key partnerships between U.S. and FSF leaders and where these personnel will be located, describe how units will use guardian angels during KLEs or other events, and who they are protecting, clearly identify all layers of the unit's defense in depth and which subordinate team is responsible for securing each layer, identify rally points, cordon protocols, and attack response measures unique to the mission location and objective. Issue the order. When issuing the order, leaders emphasize FSF threat prevention and response measures relevant to the mission. They also include a current intelligence summary that addresses recent FSF attacks in their AO. Leaders clearly articulate their security plan for the operation and identify security responsibilities in the tasks to subordinate units. Additional considerations that leaders might address during the operation order brief include mission, risk management, safety considerations, ROE, and escalation of force policies, weapon status and restrictions for both U.S. soldiers and FSFs, a back brief to ensure that all soldiers understand the force protection and risk mitigation measures in place to prevent an attack. An effective back brief requires soldiers to describe their responsibilities to the unit's overall security plan. Separate briefings for U.S. forces if risk mitigation measures cannot be shared with partnered FSFs. Supervise and refine. The final step of troop leading procedures facilitates dialogue and coordination between leaders and subordinates to ensure the plan is properly resourced, feasible, and understood by all. When supervising and refining, leaders ensure that subordinates and partnered FSFs understand the coordination measures required to synchronize actions between units and echelons. Final pre-combat checks and inspections ensure PPE and mission essential equipment is present and serviceable. Finally, this step ensures subordinates or partnered FSFs who have questions or concerns about the mission seek clarification from leaders. FSF threat considerations include adjusting the plan based on updated information collection, making final coordination with adjacent units, quick reaction forces, and higher headquarters, conducting a rehearsal of concept drill with key leaders and partnered forces, observing subordinates as they rehearse with FSFs. Leaders look for signs of animosity or strange behavior that may indicate a potential threat, reviewing weapons handling and arming status with FSFs, rehearsing FSF attack response drills with relevant personnel, challenging soldiers to back brief the ROE and escalation of force procedures, briefing the commander or designated representative on the concept of operations and any unmitigated risks or potential shortcomings. The military decision-making process. Commanders and staffs using the military decision-making process consider FSF threat prevention through each of the steps. They focus on producing an order that meets the commander's intent while providing subordinates with the information, resources, and flexibility to implement control measures that reduce the likelihood and impact of a potential attack. Receipt of mission. Upon receipt of mission, commanders address their intent for partnering with FSFs during the operation. They explain how they envision synergy between U.S. forces and FSFs accomplishing the mission, and they describe the role of each. Commanders and staffs assess the time available and determine when and how partnered forces will be alerted to the mission and what initial guidance they will receive. The warning order includes planning and preparation guidance, such as rehearsals and coordination that subordinate units conduct to mitigate an FSF threat. Mission analysis. During mission analysis, commanders and staffs develop a mission statement, commander's intent, and initial planning guidance. They conduct intelligence preparation of the battlefield, and they propose the initial commander's critical information requirements and essential elements of friendly information, EEFIs. When conducting mission analysis, the staff considers threat, vulnerability, and risk to aid in developing a concept of operations that both achieves the unit's objective and mitigates the potential for an FSF attack. Intelligence preparation of the battlefield is an essential component of mission analysis. It considers the potential for an FSF attack. Given the mission, the staff determines if FSFs pose a threat to friendly operations and how FSFs may use their capabilities to impact these operations. Like the conventional enemy COAs developed during intelligence preparation of the battlefield, the staff also assists in developing potential FSF threat COAs for combined operations. The staff can then plan against and analyze these COAs during COA analysis. The staff then distributes an updated threat assessment to subordinate units and other staff sections to be addressed in their running estimates. If a mission will occur at a previously assessed location, the unit staff references the vulnerability assessment when developing the risk assessment. If a mission will occur at a new or unfamiliar location, the unit staff takes the time and resources available to conduct a hasty vulnerability assessment of the compound and buildings they will use during the mission. Often, a hasty vulnerability assessment relies on maps and satellite imagery to provide a basic understanding of an objective's terrain. Subordinate units and other staff sections use the threat assessment, including the FSF threat COAs and the vulnerability assessment, to develop a mission-specific risk assessment. The risk assessment identifies any control measures to mitigate an FSF attack. Once the staff completes these processes and the unit commander approves them, the staff updates the commander's critical information requirements and EEFIs to reflect relevant control measures identified in the risk assessment. The intelligence and protection cells work together to ensure threat mitigation measures are included in friendly COA development. To prevent undue bias during COA development, the unit staff may produce COA evaluation criteria at the conclusion of mission analysis. FSF attack mitigation and response measures may be included as evaluation criteria for COA analysis and comparison. Additional information on the FSF threat is included in the second warning order. COA development. The key outputs from COA development are COA statements and sketches. Each COA statement and sketch includes a clear task organization that depicts both U.S. and partnered FSF units. The task organization accounts for a potential FSF attack by ensuring units can reinforce and support each other. Consideration should also be made for the tasks assigned to U.S. and multinational partners, ensuring that culturally sensitive tasks, for example, searching local civilians or clearing a religious site, are assigned to the appropriate unit. See ADP-50 for more on COA development. COA analysis. An effective COA analysis for combined operations includes an FSF attack. This is particularly important if the operation includes a KLE, ceremony, or other high-profile event that may prove attractive to a potential attacker. The decision support matrix, an important output of COA analysis, reflects the commander's guidance regarding an FSF attack and the steps to take should an attack occur. During COA analysis, commanders and staffs address these questions. How will an attack impact the mission? Could an attack trigger the reserve? The execution matrix, another important output of COA analysis, accounts for the time and coordination required to implement threat mitigation measures. This includes the time needed to clear and secure critical sites before events like KLEs. COA comparison. If FSF threat considerations are included as evaluation criteria during COA analysis, these may be weighted per the commander's guidance during COA comparison. However, if the FSF threat is not formally addressed as evaluation criteria, then it should be discussed with the commander during COA comparison. Commanders and staffs consider how well each COA mitigates and reacts to an attack without compromising the mission. COA approval. Once a commander has approved a COA, that commander's staff ensures that the commander's critical information requirements, risk reduction control measures, and EEFIs account for updated threat prevention and response measures. The staff updates the decision support matrix and execution matrix to reflect the commander's guidance regarding changes made by a potential threat or an attack. The warning order includes more detailed guidance on threat mitigation and force protection measures. Orders production, dissemination, and transition. During orders production and dissemination, the unit staff verifies that subordinate units understand the plan, the role of partnered FSFs, and the control measures directed from higher echelons to mitigate a potential FSF attack. The unit staff coordinates with partnered forces and may provide a version of the order that protects critical information, such as EEFIs and FSF attack response measures, while still allowing the partnered force to contribute effectively. The unit staff ensures that subordinate units have the resources, intelligence, and equipment to protect the force and mitigate the threat. Preparation. Plans, orders, and rehearsals for operations involving FSFs deliberately address the FSF threat by outlining mission-specific force protection measures and TTP tailored to the threat. All members of the team, especially those soldiers charged with performing duties as guardian angels or other key elements of the unit's security posture, understand and rehearse these mission-specific measures. Planning and rehearsing force protection and security operations is a critical step in preventing and defeating attacks. All units rehearse FSF threat prevention and defeat procedures before all combined operations. Rehearsing actions before execution allows participants to become familiar with the operation and translate a written plan into coordinated action. Rehearsals also help orient soldiers to the conditions and terrain they will find on the objective. Moreover, the repetition of required tasks during the rehearsal leaves a lasting mental picture of the sequence of key actions within an operation. Threat mitigation techniques and battle drills should be addressed in unit SOPs and rehearsed prior to execution. In addition to conducting a rehearsal of concept drill, leaders ensure that rehearsals are conducted at the team, squad, and platoon levels to ensure all elements of the unit's security infrastructure understand their roles should an attack occur. External security, mobile security, internal security, the reserve or quick reaction force, and guardian angels all rehearse their actions in the event of an attack. These team or squad rehearsals may culminate with the entire unit rehearsing for an FSF attack. Effective leaders carefully assess whether they rehearse attack response drills with their partnered FSFs, since this may compromise a unit's security by revealing information that a potential attacker can exploit. Units conduct FSF attack rehearsals without partnered forces in a location where they cannot be observed by multinational partners. When preparing for combined operations, SFOM missions, or stability operations, a patrol leader briefs attached personnel, such as key leaders or advisors, on the unit's FSF threat prevention and defeat measures. This brief includes explaining the key leader or advisor's actions in the event of an attack and clearly articulating the prevention or defeat measures the unit will implement during the mission. If possible, these attached personnel participate in the unit's rehearsals. If they are unavailable for rehearsals, the unit uses role players to simulate the attached personnel. During preparation, leaders ensure that soldiers do not share threat prevention and response measures with partnered forces, as this may compromise the unit's security. Soldiers protect information such as predetermined rally points, emergency ingress and egress routes, and security force rotation schedules as EEFIs. Assess. Lessons learned, retained, and implemented help units adapt to an ever-growing array of threats. In the aftermath of an FSF attack, units assess the effectiveness of their threat prevention and response measures to identify lessons learned for future operations. AARs are an effective means for identifying these lessons. Teams, squads, small units, and staffs conduct AARs. To ensure the widest dissemination, each echelon shares lessons learned both laterally and vertically. Agile and adaptive units can then review and amend risk assessments, force protection measures, TTP, and SOPs. They can then incorporate lessons learned into future operations. By order of the Secretary of the Army, James C. McConville, General, United States Army, Chief of Staff. Official, signed Kathleen S. Miller, Administrative Assistant to the Secretary of the Army.